Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something, and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. We're broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. I'm Ms. Shannon. Once again, here with me, my friend and co-host, Jayton Satiya, executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. I missed you, Jayton.
Me too. I missed me too.
Now, listen, you were off Super Bowling it, though. Big gaming it.
I was.
Did you get to actually, so let's just bring everybody back up to speed.
Yeah.
So, last episode, our good friend Jake did come and help me out, and it was a fun conversation about wrestling. So, because I'm sorry
I missed that.
I
like wrestling.
Yeah, and I think we'll have him on again.
On wrestling.
Yeah, and he and his friend Maddie are awesome. So you'll enjoy that. And they kind of brought me up to speed on some wrestling stuff. But you were off big gaming it. So tell everybody where you were last episode.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine who runs a production studio here in the Twin Cities, they got asked when the Super Bowl was here in 2018 in Minneapolis, they got asked to be the official photographers for the Taste of the NFL, which is an organization, nonprofit, that is sanctioned by the NFL that happens the night before the Super Bowl. So we were, they got asked in 2018 to be the official photographer for the Taste of the NFL, which raises money and food for local food banks in whatever city the Super Bowl is happening. So they did a great job. The company asked them back to be the official photographer for the Super Bowl this year.
Very cool.
So when we were kind of hanging out, they were like, hey, we need a fourth person to go with us and capture the event. And they know that, I work with the Twin Cities Film Fest. I have the expertise and the knowledge. I said, you want me to go to Atlanta in this cold weather?
Exactly.
And I said, yes.
Yes.
So what I did was essentially go down there and work the Taste of the NFL the night before the Super Bowl. So we were there Wednesday through Sunday. So our big event was Friday and Saturday, capturing some stuff. We interviewed some ex-NFL players, some Hall of Famers, some amazing chefs from across the country.
How does that fundraiser work? Is it a gala-type fundraiser?
So it is a gala-type fundraiser. They get about 1,500 to 2,000 people to walk through. And it's basically food-oriented, so they get 50 all NFL cities, the cities that have an NFL team, participate. They get a professional player from that team to show up at this event. They have a selected award-winning chef from that city to also come. They have mini stations. So the New England Patriots had a station. So they were serving clam chowder.
Wonderful.
The Vikings had a station.
What do we do? Wild rice soup? What do we do?
I think we did some sort of a lutefisk. Like
kind gross.
Of, but it was kind of a cool.
So it was fun.
But it was fun.
And okay.
It was very tasty food. And what they do is nothing goes to waste. So, again, all these people come in for 3-4 hours. They sell an auction. There's live auction. Martina McBride, I think, performed as well, which was amazing. So, again, they raise awareness first and foremost. They raise money. And then any extra food left over from that particular event, which is a lot of food.
I can imagine.
A big, giant conference in a convention center type setting. They donate 100% of it to local food chef that evening.
Oh, great.
So they literally package it all up and deliver it in the big, giant trucks to local food banks. And then the money that is raised also goes 100% back into that particular city's food banks.
I love that there are these community projects around our pop culture events.
Yes.
Because the football game by itself may be boring, may not be, you know, but the fact that having it in this community does something for the community, that's really cool.
Yeah, and again, it brings a couple of different things together. Like you said, pop culture, it's got the sports element to it. So if you like sports, if you love sports, this is a great place to see your favorite players. There's also that foodie kind of element and entertainment piece to it, too. There's music as well. So whether you like football or not, you know you will like this kind of an event. So, you know, there's festivities happening in a Super Bowl city anyways. This is one of those festivities that has a little bit to do, of course, with the actual game itself and football, but it's a lot more about giving back, and it brings other elements to it. Now the Taste of the NFL, because they've done it for about 28 years, now they've become a Taste of. So now they do Taste of the Masters, yes. Taste of the NCAA, Taste of MLB. So it's taking that concept and bringing it into all major sports, which, again, sports is God.
Yes. Right,
for a lot of our citizens here in the United
Correct.
States, and depending on what sport it is, why not inject humanitarianism into it? Why not inject some nonprofit worlds into it? So, and again, you know, the concept of giving back to your community and local community goes a long way. So they get a lot of traction, a lot of media. Susie Colbert from the ESPN
yes.
writer, and she was there as well as our celebrity host walking the red carpet. So it was really fun. So to answer your question of did I watch the game, no. It was,
right.
It was kind of a funny little story. Because it's the Super Bowl, we left the day of the Super Bowl, which was kind of cool
uh-huh.
to be out of there. I mean, I like football. I don't love football, right? So it was good enough for me to, like, videotape the event and then leave the next day while the game was happening. I was
right.
originally supposed to be back in Minnesota an hour before the actual game started.
Okay.
But because of the backup and the potential weather that was happening across the country at that time.
Yes.
I got pushed, so I got
You got delayed.
I got well, not even delayed. They asked for volunteers.
Oh.
So
Did you get something good?
I got $900.
$900? That's the most. Okay.
That's
Pause, everybody.
Yeah.
$900. The most I've ever gotten is three.
Yeah, no. The lady, the attendant
yes.
said, we are looking for volunteers, and we have $900 for you, and your next flight and next flight is going to be in 4 hours. I'm like,
four hours?
4 hours. I can still be home
wow.
tonight. So my friend and I, it was kind of funny. We actually, all three of us, the three of us that were traveling together, took them up on it.
Yes.
We got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cashed my $900 in for an Amazon gift card, which basically went towards my kid's new bed.
Nice.
Which is amazing. which I was going to have to buy anyways.
Right.
But when we got to our 7:45 p.m. flight, they were looking for more volunteers,
oh,
and they
goodness.
Had another $800.
Wow. And
the flight will leave the next morning, so they only needed two. So my friend and his wife, the couple,
yes,
they actually took them up on another $800. And I was not going to be greedy,
right?
So I just said, you know what, you guys take it. And then I came home that evening, but I know they earned $1,700, and all they
wow.
had to do was stay out overnight,
just sit around in the
yeah.
sit around in some
so
bar
Super
in the lot.
Bowl
you know,
was really good to us.
Nice, but I've been in that scenario. I've never gotten $900. I bet
that was insane.
I've gotten.
Said that.
I think the most I've ever gotten is. For a 3 hour push.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, so I'm making $100 an hour to sit here.
That's it.
On my phone.
Yeah. So
totally.
I watched the game on the airplane. Like
nice.
There was literally the screens. It was one of those planes with the I think it's 747 with the actual screens in front of your
right.
The other seat. So I watched the live stream of the game while I was in the plane, which again was fine.
It's awesome because you get to sit there and you could doze off in your seat like you would anyway because
totally,
the
totally.
Game was really boring.
I got home at 11, which was just fine. Like,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, and then they already asked me to come back for the NFL already asked me to come back for Miami next year.
Oh,
so.
Wonderful.
So,
good
yeah.
adventures for Jake.
It was amazing. Thank mm-hmm. you for allowing me to leave.
Oh, please. Like I'm going to be like, no, dude.
Yeah.
We got to do our podcast.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Well, we are going to, again, back to pageantry and things that you are
yeah.
very familiar with. In our second segment today, we are going to talk about the Oscars.
Oh, my God.
And, the Oscars keeps trying to course correct and get better and then has more controversy, more backlash, more controversy. So we are going to cover
just
some of that.
Horrible decision making.
Yes. And so that is what we're going to cover. There's lots of things to talk about with what's going on with the Oscars 2019. But before I get to that, one of the other things we covered last episode is we were talking about what was going on in the DC cinematic universe. And one of the stories that we talked about was the changes that they are currently making with what's going to be the new Suicide Squad film.
Yes.
And so they already had James Gunn on board to write it. They
Which
were in talks to have him direct it.
I appreciate that.
Yes. And so I think that kind of leads into the rest of the what I want to talk to you about the DCEU is that the DCEU has become such a strange world because officially last month, the movie Aquaman dethroned Batman as the highest grossing DC film of all time. And I think
I
that's
mixed
interesting.
Feelings about that.
What is your opinion on that, Jaden?
I didn't love the movie.
Right.
I liked the movie. Certain elements of it I liked. Was it my favorite superhero movie of last year. Of course not.
Right.
It came out in a time frame. It came out late last year. It came out in November-ish, I believe, or October, November, something like that.
What?
Aquaman? Yeah. Didn't it come out late?
It wasn't even that. It was this year. Like, I saw it this year.
It came out in a time where nothing else was happening.
Right.
No other
superhero And then it just stayed.
So mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons it made more money was because there wasn't much else out there
right.
for consumers to consume. Now, again, if it comes out during the Oscar season, which we'll talk about later, there's a lot of awesome independent films that are making a run for it, but that's not everybody's taste.
Well, I definitely don't see Aquaman doing what a Black Panther did
ending up in there.
Now, I understand why people were entertained by Aquaman? Yes. I have made no qualms about the fact that I despised that movie. I did not like it, but I get why people did, and I get why, and that movie needed to do well. We've admitted that before. If that movie had not done well, they would have had to throw out that universe, because that means that the only movie that worked in that world that they've created was Wonder Woman,
correct.
And you can't have one standalone be the only movie that works. They would have had to figure out a different framework for that whole universe.
Right.
And I do think it's interesting that the thing that I do think that I agree with about Aquaman is them creating, again, a whimsical, fun romp. And I think that's why people resonated with it, especially the time that it came out, is people wanted this one, when instead we tried to go so dark with DC. They tried to recreate what was going on with the Dark Knight, which I think is still a different animal. So when we come up with that Man of Steel and that Batman versus Superman, which is just this rainy,
it's just
cloudy,
hodgepodge of a mess.
Right. And so trying to be dark and gritty just for dark and gritty's sake without...
It doesn't work with everything.
And I think that it particularly doesn't work when you have a character like Superman.
Correct.
I think that Superman is, you know, when I think about Superman... And he's not my favorite superhero. We've said that before. But when I think of Superman, I don't necessarily want it. He can't be the same gritty character that you have with a Batman.
No.
And I don't think
that's
appropriate.
Well, his universe doesn't allow that. The
right.
Daily Planet doesn't allow that.
Right. And I agree. And the fact that they tried to wedge him into this dark, rainy world, I don't think it made sense. And as a person who my favorite character in the DC universe is Batman, I didn't like the direction they were trying to take Batman even. Like, I understood the Dark Knight idea to a point. I'm okay with dark to that point.
Yes.
But when we have Batman who despises Superman, like, I'm okay with
it
Batman.
It gets a little too on the opposite side
exactly.
of where it should be. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to follow the comics a little bit, but they went a little bit too extreme.
I kind of felt like when I, you know, what I remember from what I thought about that rivalry that they had in the comics, it was more of a, I don't trust Superman, but Batman doesn't trust anybody. You know, I kind of thought it was more of that, where of course he would, when I remember the particular, the Batman in that whole Justice League type persona that I would, right. was envisioning, was the one where he had a backup plan to take all of the other heroes down because right. they might go rogue, you know, and maybe him planning for that, but not being overtly despising a character to the point that he seemed to hate.
And do you think
Superman.
That was a choice that was done for specifically the character that was playing Batman? Like, do you think, you know,
I don't blame it on Batfleck. I don't think that No, because you've seen him do humorous things.
Yes, I agree. And I think he did the best he possibly could
I agree.
With that character. And I think it was the writing that kind of basically took him into the extreme where it didn't need to go, obviously.
Right.
And for me, are you when you look at Aquaman, do you think they went towards more of like a, you know, Thor Ragnarok kind of a feel?
Oh, definitely.
Which is obviously what worked with Thor Ragnarok, and it was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for them to pivot a little bit towards more of that, to be like, maybe they realized that it were going too dark too quick.
Right.
And they were like, let's pivot back to more of the whimsical, more colorful, more of a comic book feel.
Yeah.
But I think that's where also they went a little bit too... Some of those characters didn't look real to me.
That's how I feel,
like,
too. I just didn't think
real.
It looked...
Like, the animation wasn't what I expected.
I thought it looked cheap.
It looked cheap.
I thought it looked cheap.
They tried
is
to do too
like.
Much.
And the color palette was just weird. Like,
the
I understand...
The color palette was... I did not...
The color palette was terrible in Justice League, in my opinion, as well. It looked cheap as well. And I... Which is so funny to me, because computers are awesome, and we make things look great. There's so many movies that I'm like, that looked great. It was garbage, but it
right.
looked great.
Right.
This one, I'm going... I just didn't feel the way that they had the supporting characters act like. I just didn't like what they gave them to say and do.
Here's the thing. I think nothing was so, like, this stands out.
Right.
As a positive. Everything was so-so.
Right.
Like, that's so-so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But.
But so I think that kind of degraded the whole, like nothing was outstanding that I would write home about it.
Right. The thing that I think is so weird about what is going on now in the DC extended universe, and they did it to themselves, but who would have thought? So think back to when it was Little Shannon and Little Jayden, and we were watching these cartoons. Would you ever have thought that the coolest superhero in that world is Aquaman?
No.
Right. The fact that Aquaman was the one that we're all like, whatever, he talks to fish and that's not really a power and you get teased, you know, no, and he's all super campy, you know, these two, you know, orange and green. He just was not that cool. And now you're really telling me that we have made, that our world is so turned on its head that Aquaman has outcooled both Superman and Batman?
Well, and then,
that's bizarre.
And then you think about where the world that we live in today,
mm-hmm.
and why isn't Wonder Woman now that character,
right?
That person, that individual, that superhero,
right?
That we should all be backing right now. So when Wonder Woman 1984 comes out, I wonder what that's going to do as far as the most grossing.
Right.
Because you know, obviously it did really well.
I have fingers crossed for that.
Me too.
You know, I think that maybe the other thing about it is that people weren't expecting it to be as good as it was. And also, they threw so much money into marketing Aquaman. And not only marketing to its core, marketing to, like, there, it was almost to the point of pandering, like begging people to like it. So they had their Aquamom hashtags out there trying to talk women into seeing him just because he's hot. Like, a bunch of things that I thought teetered on insulting. Like, teeter, but it worked. They managed to get everybody to come see that movie.
And that's the thing, like, when everybody says, like, oh, marketing is that, like, no, marketing is not that. Like, just look at what's happening with Roma and with Netflix.
Right.
Like, they're going all out. They're spending millions and millions and millions and millions, like, more than almost the production itself just to market the film.
Right.
To, again, get it out there as much as possible. Basic rule of marketing. Just get it to as many people as possible, and ideally, they actually don't even care at the end of the day if you like it or not. They just want you to see it.
Yes.
They just want to have that conversation to be like, hey, you know, again, as I watch independent films, we want to make sure that whatever we program, we're programming a film that creates dialogue.
Right.
Simple, right? For a filmmaker to come in to have a Q&A, they don't want anybody to go like, eh. That's the worst reaction a filmmaker can get.
Right.
They'd rather have you go, I hated that thing, or
exactly.
I hated that character, or I love this. It's an actual, like, you were emotionally invested. So a lot of marketing goes towards, again, more of those hyper-focused, like, you know, hashtag moms or whatever
mm-hmm.
that is. They want to get those subgroups out to watch the film, and ideally, they like it, but regardless, they're going to talk about it.
Well, we'll definitely see if this is the correct course correction for DC and see what they move on. We know that we have Wonder Woman coming up, and then they did also announce their 2021 release dates. They're going to have DC Super Pets that's coming out the summer of 2021. We also are going to look for Anne Hathaway's The Witches. That's in the fall of 2020, and then we are going to move into the new Justice League movie, and I'm sorry, the new Suicide Squad movie is going to be coming up as well, so we'll see what direction they decide to go with that. So
they have the Doom Patrol.
I did see that
universe as mm-hmm. well, and I just saw an extended trailer. Does it look good? It looks good.
I saw it in passing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It was in the middle of another show.
Yeah,
okay.
And I had never heard of the Doom. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Doom Patrol? Are these brand new characters?
I don't know. We'll have to look into that. We're
brand new characters.
Somebody's going to revoke our geek card, so we'll have to do some research, and we can talk about that next episode.
As a geek, we're always learning as well. We're willing to say if we don't know something, we're gonna.
And I always know my blind spot is DC.
Yeah. So again, if you have a chance to go look at the Doom Patrol extended trailer, I'd go ahead and encourage you to do that.
And we would enjoy...
We can talk about it next time.
Yeah, we would enjoy you watching it, and then you can go ahead and give us your feedback on it. We're easy to find on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at BeOurGeek. So let us know what you thought. You can always hit us up on Facebook as well. We'd love to get your feedback, and then we'll talk about that on next episode.
Cool.
And we are going to go to break, and then we come back, Jayden. What we're going to talk about is the Oscars.
Oh, boy.
Can the Oscars get it together in time for us to have a great show, or are we just already waiting for a train wreck?
The Grammys.
Over and over again. Right. So we're going to have more conversations, talk about the Oscars when we return on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. I'm Ms. Shannon. That's Jayton Satia. We are enjoying the conversation today because we both are fans of award shows. I think that we are part of that fleeting group of people out there that still enjoy watching these things. Because obviously,
I love a good award show.
Yeah, and ratings have been dwindling over the years for lots of reasons. I do have plenty of opinions on why I think that these things are getting viewership down. There are lots of other things to watch out there. I don't think that we have that. It's not as special, I think, because it used to be that a good award show, whether it was the Oscars, the Grammys, the Tonys, the only way you had access to these stars and these celebrities was via the award show. And there was also, it was
the
destined
glitz and glamour.
Correct.
Was not on your, there wasn't smartphones. There
right.
Wasn't
we weren't following them on Instagram.
You
they weren't constantly.
Their normal, right. You weren't seeing the decision making that goes into which dress I should wear.
Exactly.
And you just wanted to be surprised. And you knew at 7 p.m. Central or wherever you were going to watch the red carpet.
Right. And it used to, I think it was also, if you go from an anthropological thing, there was a reason to gather together around the TV. We didn't have DVRs way back in the day. You weren't going to be able to watch it later. You know, you needed to sit down with your friends, have this whole event, everybody get together. And now it's either I'll watch it later. All of the highlights will be immediately available on the internet.
Well,
I can watch it on YouTube. I don't need to watch it live.
Now there's virtual viewing in
right.
the fact that you don't physically need to sit in front of a TV to watch it. There's Twitter. People
yes.
are telling you exactly who's winning what and their opinions on it anyway. So if you don't have the capacity to sit in front of for 3 hours or 4 hours or God knows 4.5 hours to watch a show, you don't have to, and you know that you don't have to.
And
the
if
fact
you're,
that you can come in and out of it whenever the hell you want.
If you're interested in all these things as well, all of the media outlets that we follow, if you're an Entertainment Weekly follower, you know they're going to be doing a moment-by-moment, award-by-award recap real-time on their website. And so,
absolutely.
You know, so watching it doesn't happen as much. And I do think that also the Oscars, because it set itself up as such a kind of bloated, pretentious affair anyway, and that was part of the charm.
Yep.
Now that it keeps trying to update itself to our new world of consume quickly, consume quickly, consume quickly, every time they try, they fail miserably and people don't let them update.
Now, is that because we don't let them have the, like, are the consumers so fickle now that if they don't like something, they're not even going to let it get it, have them have a chance at it?
Maybe, because I do
like
feel
if they
like
announce something, let's just say they announce it on their website or press release, and there's automatic backlash without actually seeing what the end product would or would not be, right? So the whole controversy on with Kevin Hart and stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, so whatever that is, sure. Academy's decision, yes or no, regardless of if he should have gotten an offer to do it again or not, and it was his decision to say, I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
Right? That's fine. But then the hunt for the host.
Right? Correct.
And then the final decision of, like, no hosts, and people are angry about it. So from an organizational
but they've done it before with no host, and it worked fine.
Right.
And I do think it's interesting. It does seem like for the last, we'll say, there's the Oscars have been problematic for a number of years,
yes.
but it was Oscars so white, Oscars so male. Now we have this. And you know, so every year there's something, you know, they go, well, you know, the people the concern was they didn't give films to give awards to enough popular films. So nobody wanted to watch it. So then they come up with a popular film category and goes, everybody goes, now you're just pandering to
right.
us. And we don't. And then we got to drop that and throttle that and roll that back. And then the most recent thing is they go, the show's too long. And they say, okay, so
it is.
It's too long.
Because it is.
So they said the show's too long, and then the organizers of the Oscars decided that they were going to start showing some of the awards. They were going to hand them out during the commercial breaks, which I'm very interested to hear your opinion on this, because a lot of the awards that they were going to hand out during the commercial breaks were the ones that I told you as a layperson I'm bored watching on the
sure.
show. I know that the people who win Best Cinematographer and all of those things are highly important to the creation of these films. But as just a viewer of the awards program, having this person who doesn't normally talk in front of people, they're just not that entertaining. It is worthy. It's not entertaining.
Fair enough. So would
okay.
you rather have these? So there's 24 awards
mm-hmm.
that are handed out. and again, it's the pomp and circumstance, right? So it's like announce the nominees.
Correct.
And then the walk up to the stage, and then the minute and a half that they get, and then people who are non-professionals.
There's lots of clapping and applauding.
Like there's that whole thing.
So thank you.
This is where the extension of the show comes in, right? So that being said, would you rather have, now this is a generic question, all of the award nominees or the categories, whether it's the Oscar, Grammys, Tonys, be put up for vote? Because now the consumers are ready, like they already vote on stuff anyways, and saying, look, these are the three or four categories we don't want to see or we don't care about. So that that way you're actually
getting consumer feedback. I think that's almost true, but I feel like that almost is more hurtful.
Fair enough.
If you're like, because then do you want the universe telling the cinematographer he's not important?
No.
Here's what I do think would be interesting about the show. Because everybody is, you know, those are worthy. And a lot of the people who were saying, no, I want to see best cinematographer, you know, they were the directors that were saying it. Sure. But I don't always want to hear the director talk, you know, even if it's a celebrity director like Spike Lee. Here's what I think would be interesting. Because if we're comparing, well, should we count the big three as the Oscars, the Grammys, and the Tonys?
Yep.
Maybe the Golden Globes. We'll add that in too. And I feel like
the only
reason we like the Golden Globes is I think that a lot of people have seen more of the TV shows. Those are more accessible, and we're waiting to see if they're drunk and somebody says something ridiculous.
Yeah, which
that's
makes
a more
it
party.
Fun.
Yeah, that's a more party aspect. I think this would make me enjoy the Oscars more if instead of watching everybody's speech, I want to see all of the music performed. I like that. Like, there was one year where they had, like, Beyonce sing every song, and that was fine even. Like, you know, so some of the songs.
Entertainment.
Yes. So have that. Like, I know Bette Midler is going to perform for, you know, I'm excited to see that. So do
Isn't
all of
Bradley Cooper supposed to perform his song from Star Wars?
I thought Lady Gaga was just doing it, and Bradley.
Doesn't.
We'll see. Yeah. So I think that's cool. I'll watch that.
Yep.
Then what I think would be fun for me as a person who plans to see all of the movies that end up getting nominated for Best Picture, but doesn't. Why don't you show me a highlight reel of the movie? Maybe don't give it away, but show me like some, give me a little montage of the movie during it. Not even like a little bit, but I mean, like, I would think that would be a good. I would watch 5 minutes of the movie.
So instead of hearing the award winner's speech, you'd rather see a montage of the film,
and or.
Like if it's a cinematographer or a sound editor.
Show what he did.
See a clip of the
film. And then
film.
They can stand up and wave, you know, or something.
If you do that for one, you got to do that for all.
Right, so all of them, wave. Just wave. You know, kind of
1 hour show right there.
Right. I get to see, and then I know, so give me the extended trailer of everything.
So when I'll get back to your question on like cinematography and editing and live action and hair and makeup, and again, all of the categories that are presented an award, should they be up there actually live?
Right.
So that's a different question. There's other ways to streamline the show.
Okay. What else would you do?
I think a no host goes a long way.
True.
Which shrinks down on the amount of banter that goes back and forth. And you know, a good monologue at the beginning of the show kind of sets the tone. Obviously, we see that with the Tonys, and that's appropriate. Maybe the opening monologue should be a film, or should be those compilations of the things that are up for nominations, right?
So, right.
And again, other things like when you're reading off the list of the nominees, you see a 5 second clip of the performance, or a 5 second clip of the whatever. Some of these films are nominated in multiple categories, so I get bored watching the same clip from the same film or the same actor performing the same three lines over and over and over and over again. Do we need to show the clip or just, you know how they do the, people get excited about the 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. broadcast of like, these are the nominees.
Yes.
Like, you know, and people watch that. Like,
right.
They actually tune in to be like, I wonder who's going to get nominated. They're just spitting the names out.
Yeah.
They're just, people at this capacity already know what the film is about.
Right.
Or if people want to discover it, they have the opportunity to discover it because it's got nominated so many times.
Right.
So you can maybe shrink that down.
But I think, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's the wow factor of seeing some of these things, because like one of the things you like about the Tonys is you get to see
the
performances, and that's what you like about the Grammys. And so how do you translate that to something like the Oscars?
Maybe it's a scene act out.
That would be interesting.
professional actors. Here's the professional actors that are not those actors.
Interesting.
Right? These are professional actors that are working in the industry. They get an opportunity to be on the stage performing a small scene from a film.
Okay, I will
so
watch
you get
that.
Like two or three.
I see you. Okay.
So, but these are new faces as well. So mm-hmm. the Academy gets to showcase their new faces and mm-hmm. the upcoming actors, the upcoming whatever.
Yes.
Like these are the kids and or young adults or experienced professionals who you don't really see on screen, or maybe you get the TV involved. You'd be like, these are professional actors working on TV that are on camera. You see them every day, but they're performing a favorite scene from this film.
Here's all our commercial actors that you only saw in Pepsi commercials.
Correct.
Or something, and they do it. I think that there are other ways.
There's ways to do it, but again, does that extend the show?
Yes.
Does it, you know, having a live performance on stage extends the show?
I'm talking about exchanging that for other things, because I don't think that
you
would mind
have,
with the show.
I got you. You want to swap something out with
yes, that's what I'm saying, is that some of the things that we keep trying to take out, I agree should be taken out. They're boring. And so, you know.
I have mixed feelings, right? So I want to be able to, it's an entertainment show, even though I'm in the industry. I appreciate all of these categories and all of these nominees. They work really hard, and this is their opportunity to get recognized.
Right.
I get it. It's
you said that when I suggested that we shouldn't watch those things before. Like you were talking about how they should have it.
Photography is super important. I think film editing is basically what you're watching is editing.
And all of the directors, all the people, that's where the backlash came from, is they agreed with you specifically about those things.
Right. Hair, makeup, okay, live action, short, you know, You're asking an industry professional who appreciates every single aspect of what goes into filmmaking.
I'm just
trying
to, right.
From an entertainment standpoint, I get the backlash from a consumer like you who says, I don't need to know who was the sound editor for this film. I just like the sound.
Correct.
Like, I don't need to, like, I can just be happy with knowing that this particular film and this particular person won the award.
And I think it's interesting.
So
like
maybe you don't announce the nominees. Nominees are already on the website, and then you just have a presenter up there that takes five categories and says, "From the winner from the sound editing is da-da-da."
Fair enough. Okay.
So you don't do the nominees anymore because the nominees are already on the website,
right,
or whatever, so you're not wasting quote-unquote time on. And again, I don't think it's wasting time, but I can see it from other perspectives. Like you're just listing off the winners.
Right. Okay.
And they just come up and just announce it. And maybe you give, again, you're not diminishing a specific category, but others, but people do know it's an entertainment show. People do want to watch, you know, Meryl Streep make the 80th, you know.
Yes.
Award.
And I guess I understand, like, if, you know, and this is very easy for me to say this right now because I am not up for an Academy Award. But
if I was up there, I'd have backlash if I just got, you know, not even nominated, put up there. Yeah, I mean, I've worked my butt off in the industry.
You know, I think it's interesting that you'll have, for instance, I know that it takes a team of people to accomplish all of these things. I know it's not only one person, but it is very boring to watch. Like, I enjoy the fact that they're excited, and I'm sure that if it was you or I would, you know, you would enjoy. I'm trying not to harsh their squee, but I don't know any of these people. So when there's, like, 20 of them, like, the whole design team goes up on stage, it takes forever for them to find all 20 of them, and they're waiting for Susan because Susan was in the bathroom.
I think one way you can help that scenario is every single person who gets an award is told, like, hey, you're nominated. However, you can only bring up two people.
Oh, jeez. Okay, put
right?
the pressure back
just
on
to
them.
Push it, it's like, look, we're not going to not recognize you. We're going to recognize you. But and again, here's the thing. You have a minute, right? The more you take, so you can come back to us and say, hey, you started playing the little sound mm-hmm. right before my end of the speech. Well, you wasted your minute by bringing 80 other people up.
like and high-fiving help. And hugging, right. and I think that's great.
And I get it. We get it. They can meet you backstage. Mm-hmm. We still have cameras back there. You'll still be part of the...
We'll live stream it. You can put it up on your YouTube page, whatever.
And I don't know. I mean, I know the announcement is made when the announcement is made, so the law firm of whatever is, you know, that whole thing is like they have it like a lockdown, a lock key. But
right.
I'm sure somebody knows... Here's the thing, too. It's a fun surprise to see somebody win who's way in the back, who wasn't expecting to win.
True.
But that...
It takes 5 minutes for them to walk down there.
Strategically place them, if you think they have a chance, place them in the aisle. Why is Meryl Streep the first person right next
Wait,
to the stage?
I have an idea. What if we don't even have them come on stage? Just strategically place mics all throughout there. Or have handlers that have handheld mics. That they're like... And then the winner is... You know, Susan Thomas, and they just hand a mic to Susan in her seat, and Susan stands up, says, "Thank you very much. My team and I worked really hard."
Yeah,
and then
by the way,
Susan sits
right
back
here.
Down. Right, my everybody say, "What's up?"
Just stand up right now.
They all
and then,
go,
you know,
"Whatever."
They all go, "What up?" And then you go, "Here's your award," because Susan's going to come back and sit down in her seat anyways.
Right.
Eventually. So
yeah.
Might as well
and that's not the real award anyway. It's the stage award.
Correct.
So maybe they just have, they have people that stand in the aisle. They hand them the mic.
You can get your award later after the award show is over.
What's up?
Come back in the thing.
They have a photographer run over real quick, take a picture of them in the aisle after they give their award, and then they sit back down. That, I'm on board with that.
For all of the categories.
Yes, every category. Nobody comes on stage.
Best director, best film.
Everybody. So you stay there, we'll come to you, sir. Like, sir or madam, we will come to you. That would be entertaining to me.
That would be, oh my God. That
if
be,
somebody
I
was
would love
in
to watch that.
That would be so fun.
Just to kind of.
Wherever they are, now, just stand up in your seat.
Now I just kind of want to. See that happen.
I like that idea. That's, I mean, because we've brainstormed this a couple of different ways. Of the ideas that we've just thrown out there, that is my favorite thus far. That they just stay where they are, they hand them a mic, they have a minute to talk in their thing, and then the guy takes the mic back or the mic cuts off and the music plays. And they're already sitting down. So there's no so awkward they don't, you know, I mean, it would put a bunch of like models out of the, you know, out of business that get to escort them off.
Oh,
the,
sure.
But whatever. The models can now stand in the aisle and hold the microphone.
There you go.
And go, here's the mic.
The models actually get more of a FaceTime.
Yes. They're just standing there in their beautiful outfits, go over, hand the mic to whoever the winner is, and then wait.
I could see that. Well, here's the thing, too. So we watch the Grammys, right? And I enjoy the Grammys because I know exactly what I'm getting, which mm-hmm. is amazing performances,
right.
Amazing collaborations, things that maybe have like the Casey Musgrave.
So yes.
Like, I didn't, I'm not a country fan, but mm-hmm. now I know that I'm going to go listen to that soundtrack.
Right.
But to see her win, to see the other mixed mash categories that there are. But I know exactly what I'm getting from the Grammys, which
Correct.
Is basically a concert.
And that's how I feel about the Tonys.
Right.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't think the Oscars have figured out exactly how they play in the new world of entertainment.
Right.
Now it is film. We're already watching something on camera. So I don't mind, you know, one of my favorite things in the world is watching bloopers.
True.
After films,
I agree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So making these quote unquote pretentious celebrities, which mm-hmm. they're not. They're super nice people.
Right.
Several of them. Right. But Oscars is becoming that.
Like right.
It's the hoity toity industry. But they're still human beings. They make mistakes all the time. And I think bringing that human side out of them as part of the telecast would go a long way to whether it be. Having them perform or having it'd be kind of funny to have Meryl Streep perform a small scene from a film that she was not part of. One of her colleagues who got nominated for something else and she plays her.
That would be interesting.
So it's, you know,
or if we had like a honorable mention category. So
yes.
For all the things that got snubbed, that might, I don't know if they would take it, think it was as funny as we would think, but I think it would
yeah,
be
we're
interesting.
We're not saying the Razzies by any means.
No, we're talking about the people where you're like, okay, we were surprised that Crazy Rich Asians did not get an award. Here, they're all here anyway, you know, kind of thing.
I would
You're right.
love that.
That would be interesting.
Still give them a platform, still saying, hey, you weren't, because not everybody can nominate it.
Right. Right.
They're always, regardless of who gets nominated, there'll be backlash anyways. Like, oh, you didn't
exactly.
select this film, you didn't select this film, so you can't
right.
please everybody. Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to, I have mixed feelings about, I'm glad what they did just now, right? So,
Phoebe, yes.
I know you don't.
I'm yawning preemptively, but that's fine.
Fair enough. But yeah. I think if they can do something else to make the show go faster and have it be a little bit more entertaining,
right,
would go a long way.
Then it wouldn't feel long if there were more pals in it and you weren't just sitting there staying up so you could see when's, you know, the best picture and, you know.
Yeah.
Then maybe it would make a difference.
Now, the Grammys, I think, did a good job in mix matching the categories. So they would go, like, one of the first categories they announced was one of, like, the bigger ones.
Right.
Which, again, gets your attention right away to be like, I don't know if, you know, it's not like a slow build up to, like, the best picture or,
agreed,
or record of the year or whatever that is.
But so if, like, they sprinkled it better?
If they sprinkled it better, I think that would get the attention of the audiences a little bit. It's like, I might miss out on a category that I really care about, but I have no idea when it's coming, except for the best picture, right?
Right.
That's just, we just know that's
coming.
Yes,
could be last. And I do think this year, I was looking through just kind of like
a... they did Best Supporting Actor, the very first one.
Fair, yeah.
Right, like, oh, great, Mahershala Ali, you win again.
And I wasn't, you know, as far as when I was watching all of the snub lists this year, I wasn't as like, that person got robbed, you know, as much as I am some years. But I think that was just me, you know, this one. I was like, I felt like it was a broader representation, but they still could have gone a little farther. But at least it was a little better.
I'm curious to see, just from the film's perspective, how many awards Black Panther will take home.
Yes.
I'm curious.
I am curious because that's something that we normally would only see in all the boring, you know, editing, sound effect,
right,
costuming type things. I am also interested, like, the fact that, you know, A Star Is Born got, what, 8 nominations, but didn't get a Best Director. And I'm always interested whenever things that are up for Best Picture don't get Best Director nods. I'm always like, because neither did Green Book.
No, and Star Is Born is one of those films that had the hot hand, the upper hand, going into the Oscar season, and then because it didn't really get any recognition at the Golden Globes, and it's not really getting any, it didn't get really anything at BAFTA Awards.
Right.
People are saying now it's kind of on the back burner, and, you know, Lady Gaga, her Grammy for the song anyway, so I think we're good.
They're like, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. She got something. I'm kind of curious as to if they're going to get anything major out of the 8. I think that one might be the biggest snub as far as, I think it might take home 1 out of the 8 nominations.
Right.
Maybe 2. Mm-hmm. I think Roma is going to do really well.
I watched I don't think the Green Book's going to get anything. I think it's one of those, it's just an honor to be nominated films.
No. So I'm going to keep it positive.
Okay, what do you think it's going to get?
I really hope Green Book does well. Being said, is it I would say it's top 3 for Best Picture.
Okay.
I would say it's top 3, so it would be the third. I think Roma's up there.
Right.
I kind of want to put Black Panther up there for Best Picture, but I don't know.
Well, you know, if I had to pick between Green Book and Black Panther, I'm picking Black Panther.
No, and again, so either of those winning would be amazing for me as well.
Right. Well, we'll see if any of that comes up. Is there anything else that you're super excited about?
In general, in my life, no.
Other than you have extra $900 to buy a bed for your son.
No, it's only $200. Stupid bed.
Hey,
no,
don't get used to it.
No,
it's not like you're going to stop growing.
I know. I am
wait till you're like my kid, and I was like, oh, now I had to kiss. He got the big guy bed, so he has a full size bed now.
Oh, see, we just got a twin.
Yeah, so we graduated from the twin to the full.
Got it.
Wait till you get a tween in your house, and he's all like, I need twice this much space. I need to be able to roll around and lay diagonally.
Just get out of our room for now.
Yeah, exactly.
So to answer your question, I'm actually looking forward to. So we're doing the live stream again at the Icon Theaters, and people come and have fun, and people are like, so what do you dress? Like, do you dress up? Like, dress as you would want to.
Correct.
Go into a live stream show. Be comfortable first and foremost.
Right.
You're going to be sitting down for at least 3 hours.
Correct.
Or not. You can go up to the bar and just chill too.
Yes.
That being said, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of a format it does take when there is no host. So I'm curious as to, how does it get going? Are there multiple people who are basically, quote-unquote, hosting So, you know, an extended, like, I'm going to announce the award anyways for this category. Might as well stay out there for an extra minute and do...
Introduce the next
and
thing.
And do the banter back and forth with a couple of people that I know in the industry that are just there.
Makes sense.
I wonder if they'll talk about a few of the political topics that are always, you know, the Oscars always get political when...
Yeah.
Especially if an actor wins or a director wins. And
right.
So I'm curious. I'm always
What direction the speeches
yeah,
will
I'm
go.
Yeah, I'm just intrigued as to what that could look like. Obviously, it was Oscar So White, and then it was Me Too. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious as to what this year the undercurrent.
The hashtag du jour will be this time.
Yeah, is it climate change? What is it this year that will, is it voting?
I vote inclusion. I vote that it's going to be diversity and inclusion is
I
what they're going to
so,
talk
and
about.
I think that's something that they did last year, 2 years ago, when, mm-hmm. when it was Oscar So White. They revamped their voting members.
Right.
They got a lot more inclusive with who gets to join the Academy.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to, again, that's always intriguing to me. I'm mm-hmm. not really either looking forward to it. I'm just looking at what the undertone of the, again, it's a big platform, even though they're, viewership might be declining. It's like 26 million or something.
And oh, yeah. It's still huge.
It's still 26 million people that are watching it. And ideally, people are watching from all across the political spectrum because they like movies.
Correct.
So that being said, I know people are like, oh, L.A. is or Hollywood is too liberal. Yeah, but there's just good people that want to do good things and they just want to have good messaging.
Right.
I'm interested in, you know, there's always side bets on who's going to go off the rails.
Yes.
And just
and we'll see this
say
time.
A few things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anybody nominated this year that would maybe do that.
Gaga.
If Gaga wins.
Yes.
I know Gaga's Grammy award acceptance talked a little bit about mental health.
Correct.
Which is great because that's what the film
So I don't necessarily think that's off the rails, but I feel like she has the...
Off script. She's
correct.
Got, yeah, no, mm-hmm. she's got the music as well as film. Obviously, mm-hmm. she's there for the films, but she's got the music audience that may chime in or, excuse me, tune in as well. So
right.
Then you can obviously get a little bit more political in music than you can
right.
in film. So,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the topic, but
well, we will have to
are
see.
Are you looking forward to anything? Like, obviously, you'll watch it here and there, maybe, maybe not. But,
yeah.
Is there a specific category that you're just like?
Not
really,
at all this
okay.
year. No, because I was just now. I'm just interested. Like, I'm not. I don't have a horse in this particular race. This time I'm, you know, so many of the films that I enjoyed this time and I've seen like this for the first time in a number of years, I've seen a lot of the films that are up. Usually
70%
of the films I have not seen, you know, kind
so
of thing.
30%. You, yeah,
exactly. Well, I'm like, yeah. you and I have this talk every year where you're
for
like,
sure.
did you see them? Like, no. And you're
yep.
like, it's really good. I'm like, I believe you. I believe yeah. you. I'm not. I agree. I'm sure,
sure
it is a very worthy film yeah. that I am not going to go see.
Right.
But this year I was like, okay, I'm on board with a lot of these. And I feel like the Oscars is going in a direction that I, as a fan of film, not as deep as you, but as a fan of movies, I'm going, okay, this is neat, and I want to see where it goes. But it's really long, man. I used to always want to go and, like, make snacks and have parties and dress up. And now I'm like...
So it's 3 hours, good amount of time?
Yes.
So...
So if they could get... They're not going to get down to three.
They were at four last year.
Right.
There's no way they're cutting out an hour.
They can't. I don't
if
see how they can.
If they come in at 3.5, I'd be happy.
Yeah. So we'll fingers crossed for that. And everybody can get information about your live stream that's going on if they go to the website, TwinCitiesFilmFest.org.
Correct.
I know you also have some cool screenings and some other things that are coming up very soon. So they can
yeah.
get that info there.
So actually the Oscar weekend, we're actually doing two screenings of in honor of Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing... on Saturday the 23rd at 2 p.m. at the Icon Theater, free screening of The Color Purple.
Wonderful.
And then on Sunday, the Oscar day at 2 p.m., right before the Oscars, we're doing a screening of Hidden Figures.
Wonderful. I love that as well. So
it's complimentary. All you have to do is come to the box office. It doesn't matter how many people you want to bring with you or 10 other people. And you just pick your seats and just go into the movie and enjoy it.
So make sure you get all that information at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. You can also find previous episodes episodes of Be Our Geek if you go there as well. And we encourage you to be part of the show. Make sure you check in with us. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Be Our Geek. You can also go ahead and email us, beourgeek@gmail.com, if there's anything you'd like us to talk about. So again, make sure you check it out, and we appreciate you being part of the show. We'll see you next episode of Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something.